Casting system.
In a gesture that electrified the world, Egyptian President Anwar Sadat this day in 1977.
This is the season, but hurry, the sale is on now, and you don't want to miss it.
There's more for your life at Sears.
For the ABC Information Network, I'm Doug Limerick.
Jim and Jeanette James of North Pole Equipment Rentals and Small Engine Repair, located on Badger Road, 1 mile from the North Pole intersection, directly across from the telephone company, want you to know that if you've got lawnmowers, tillers, 3 and 4 wheel ATVs, and motorcycles that need work, Jim can and will repair them. That's right, if you've got a small engine that needs repair, just call Jim or Jeanette at 488-7373. And listen to this, folks. If you've got some painting or construction to finish up, they have the rental equipment you need to get the job done. Whether it's saws, power tools, heaters, generators, pressure washers, loaders, or compactors, North Pole Equipment Rentals and Small Engine Repair will rent you the proper equipment to take care of those unfinished jobs. That's North Pole Equipment and Small Engine Repair, located at 3068 Badger Road, serving the people of North Pole and Fairbanks with quality small engine repair and equipment rentals. Give Jim or Jeanette a call at 488-7373 or 488-9339.
Hi, everybody. Johnny Holiday reporting on sports. 56-year-old Don Zimmer is back in the major leagues again, not as a coach, but as the new manager of the Chicago Cubs. For Zimmer, this will be his fourth time around as a big league skipper. He played for the Cubs, then helped coach them to a divisional title in 1984. The Cubs' new director of baseball operations, Jim Frey, hired Zimmer today. Chicago was just one of a couple of ball clubs that had talked to Zimmer about his services. He recently had signed a 2-year deal to coach third base for the San Francisco Giants. The Giants let him out of that contract to talk with the Cubs.
When Jim was named the job that he has, my name come up right away. Again, the friendship. When the Houston situation come up, I was getting calls all over the country. I was going to Houston. I didn't know nothing about it. First of all, I don't even know the people over there. And but these are how things get started. And this one got started, and it finally worked out the way a lot of people thought it would.
Don Zimmer, the new manager of the Chicago Cubs. Tomorrow in Lincoln, Nebraska, the nation's top college football rivalry takes the spotlight. Number 1 versus number 2. Nebraska, 9-0, battles Oklahoma, 10-0. The winner advances to the Orange Bowl in Miami with a Big 8 title in hand. Now remember, the Cornhuskers head coach Tom Osborne has never won a national championship.
It's going to drive me crazy if I finish coaching in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, and have never won a national championship, you know. If I don't do it, I might end my career more quickly because somebody may get me out of here, but... It's not just something that I have to have happen.
Third-ranked Miami entertains Toledo tomorrow night. Number 4 Florida State, which will meet the loser of the Nebraska-Oklahoma game in the Fiesta Bowl, has the weekend off. Fifth-ranked UCLA needs just a tie at Southern Cal. They represent the Pac-10 in the Rose Bowl against 11th-ranked Michigan State. Notre Dame, bound for the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, takes on Penn State in State College, Pennsylvania. Dwight Gooden is giving the New York Mets an ultimatum these days. According to published reports in New York, the ace right-hander wants a new multi-year contract. Otherwise, he'll consider leaving the team through free agency in 1990. The Big Apple NIT begins tonight. There are 6 first-round games. 2 other opening round games take place tomorrow. For the ABC Information Network, I'm Johnny Holiday.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna, from the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mining Extension. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and of course, mysterious future. I'll be with you here on KFAR 660 on your radio dial each Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., where we can discuss the entire spectrum of mining in Alaska, from the fascinating and colorful history of the major and minor gold rushes to the most recent gold prospecting and mining techniques. We can discuss such topics as how you can become rich and famous by making a fabulously rich gold discovery, or perhaps the role of education in the Alaska mining industry. And of course, we will have special guests to discuss different mining-related topics. Some will discuss where the Earth's hidden treasures might be found, while others will tell us the rules we must follow to extract them. But most of all, my friends, give us a call if you have a question or care to make a comment on mining in Alaska. We would especially like to hear from some of you early pioneers. I know many of you must have some fascinating stories that perhaps you wouldn't mind sharing with us. So if you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences, give us a call. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. Oh my, but we have a fascinating program planned for you today. In just a few minutes, we are going to meet today's guest, Charlie Green, who, as many of you know, is the mineral specialist with the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. But before introducing Charlie, I'd like to take a moment out to comment on a couple of letters that I received from our listeners. First of all, I want to thank Marilyn Gentleman from North Pole for submitting her card and tell her that I appreciate her listening to the program. In addition to that, I'd like to also thank Dick and Robin Hammond out at Chicken, who are listening and say that they are going to be a common listener to Alaska Gold Trails here on KFAR. And I also want to make comment regarding their letter and that we're going to initiate a method by which we can have a contest that would permit people in the bush areas to participate by mail. So if any of the people who are listening out there in the bush would have an idea on how to develop this particular contest, a mail-in contest, please drop me a line here at KFAR and give us some ideas. Now, before we launch, of course, into the thick of the program, we have to do what we do to give away dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe, and that, of course, is our Frontier History Quiz. The first person to call us at 479-TALK, that's 479-8255, and give us the correct answer to our question, will win a $20 dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe, located across from the Daily News Miner. Now listen, folks. Last week, our question was, who was the first president of the University of Alaska? And the answer, of course, was Charles Bunnell. We went on to say that in 1972, William Cashin wrote a book on Bunnell and the early history of the University of Alaska. Now, this week's question for dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe, what is the title of that book? And while we're waiting for our phone calls, and remember once again that the number is 479-TALK, that's 479-8255, let's take a look at one of the sponsors that is responsible for Alaska Gold Trails. Import Auto Body, located at 2201 Judd Street, right next to the Jade Shop, wants you to know that they offer free estimates, excellence in bodywork, and of course, insurance estimates. Tim Schroeder is there ready to serve you. Import Auto Body uses the very finest materials available. Also, they have a unibody frame straightening and alignment machine. Using this latest technology, they simply put your car on the machine, then realign the frame to factory specifications. And keep in mind, folks, this machine is not limited to imports. Factory replacements, you bet, they have them. Window replacements, they can do that too. Restoration, the very, very finest in Fairbanks. They feature famous genuine Saab parts, and they have a urethane primer that will make your car like new. Find a deal on a used import that only needs minor repairs and take it to Import Auto Body. They can fix it up for you. Import Auto Body, specializing in auto body repairs. They're located at 2201 Judd Street, right next to the Jade Shop. Give Tim a call at 451 451-8456. That's 451-8456. Looks like we have a call here. Hello, you're on the air. This is Jim.
Yes, I believe I know the title to the book.
Well, what do you got?
Farthest North College President.
That's exactly correct. What is your name?
My name is Shirley Belon, B-E-L-O-N.
B-E-L-O-N, Shirley?
Correct.
Well, Shirley, thank you for your call here, and you've just won a $20 dinner for two at Laura's Gold Strike Cafe, located across from the Daily News Miner. You know where that's at?
Across from the Daily News Miner?
Yes,
sure
ma'am.
Do.
Okay, well, if you'll just stop up here at the KFAR studio anytime after 2:30 today, you can pick up your certificate and you'll be all set.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling and playing our quiz today, Shirley.
Uh-huh.
Thanks
Goodbye.
Much. Bye-bye. Hello, Charlie Green?
Hello, Jim.
How are you today? Well, it's nice to have you on the... How's that, Charlie? Charlie Green, you're with the Department of Commerce and Economic Development.
That's right.
And how long have you been with the department of there, Charlie?
I've been with the department since 1981.
And Charlie, tell us briefly what brought you into Alaska.
Well, Jim, I drove up the highway in 1972 with a friend. Graduated from college in 1971 and expected to be drafted. In those days, they gave out lottery numbers for such things, and my number was due. To make a long story short, though, they never got to it, and so I decided I owed myself 2 years' worth of excitement in an exotic part of the world, and came to Alaska.
Well, Charlie, you came, you attended the University of Alaska. And prior to coming to the university, you also attended another university. What was...
I got a Bachelor of Arts degree, Jim, from Cornell University in 1971.
That was in English? Is that correct?
I believe so.
Okay. Then you came up to the University of Alaska and got your degree in...
I don't mean to be a Budinsky, but I think what just happened was... as you were interviewing, the very first part that Jim was talking about, he wasn't turned on over here, and it wasn't registering. So I bet if you ask the question again, everybody could hear it.
Thanks, Michael.
I'm a big technician.
You know what happened is Michael forgot to turn the switch on, and so we didn't know. We haven't found out who our guest is today.
I take responsibility. That's probably why somebody was caught.
Oh, well, was that you calling, Michael?
No, somebody else, but my
fine.
Fault.
Okay, Michael. Thank you, Michael. Charlie, once again, we can go through this spiel. Charlie Green is my guest here, and of course, Charlie is from the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. What Charlie has given us is his background, and first of all, Charlie, what brought you to Alaska once again?
I drove up the highway, Jim, in 1972. In 1971, I graduated from college, and in those days, you were eligible for the draft by virtue of lottery, and it was time for my number to come up, and I was patiently waiting to be drafted. However, to make a long story short, they never got up to my number, and so I felt I owed it to myself to go spend 2 years in some exotic place, and had a friend driving up the Alcan the next spring, and I paid for my share of gas money, and came up here in 72, and I guess you could say I've re-enlisted several times since.
And where have you re-enlisted then, Charlie?
Well, I've primarily been around the Fairbanks area. I lived in the bush areas out in Eureka and Livengood area for a couple winters, and sort of got the bush experience out of my system, and then moved back to the big city lights of Fairbanks, and I've been living in the Fairbanks area since about 1978.
I see. And in 1978, you... apparently attended the University of Alaska. Is that correct, Charlie?
Right, Jim. I had, while I was out in the bush, had gotten interested in mining and had started to work in placer mining and took a job with the Asmara Oil Corporation that was running a placer mine. And they also, one year, had a hard rock exploration program in the Alaska Range and asked me to head that up. And since I had no professional training in geology or mining, I felt that it'd probably be a good thing to maybe go back to school and get a degree in the subject and enable my employers to justify my salary.
Well, tell me something about your period of education at the University of Alaska. Charlie, you attended other university. How do you feel about the instruction that you got at the university in the School of Mineral Engineering and the Geology Department?
Well, I enjoyed it very much, Jim. Going back to school after having been out of school for about 10 years and going back to school in a subject that was first of all personally interesting and professionally interesting and a subject that I had dealt with in a job situation, it was fascinating to go back to school and get the training and with a little more maturity than most kids have when they're in school. It was a thoroughly enjoyable experience. The staff at the university had a real good grounding in what's going on in the private sector, and so it was a thoroughly enjoyable experience.
Well, I'm happy to hear that about the university system. Charlie, let's take a break for a minute and let's talk about some of these people who support our program here, Alaska Gold Trails. How would you like to strike it rich? I think it's strike it rich time. Well, that's exactly what will happen to you when you travel out to 16-mile Chena Hot Springs Road and dine at Two Rivers Lodge. What an evening you'll have. An enchanting log structure with frontier decor, complete with a solarium overlooking a beautiful tree-bordered lake. What a pleasant setting for your dining pleasure. If you enjoy exciting new tastes, the menu alone will be enchanting. Their appetizers include such delicacies as shrimp cocktails, stuffed mushroom caps, and the one I enjoy, hot and spicy chicken. Try it. I guarantee you'll love it. There's a complete list of main dishes, including veal plate, seafood plate, chicken plates, and of course, we don't want to forget the pleasures of steaks. And for dessert, my favorite, grapefruit pie, a fluffy body with bits of grapefruit to add a delightful, tangy taste. Drinks, they have anything you might want, and perhaps some you have never heard of. And don't forget Two Rivers Special, Coconut Brownie. That's Two Rivers Lodge, located at 16-mile Chena Hot Springs Road. For reservations, phone 488-6815. Once again, for reservations, the number is 488-6815. Tell Stasha and Don that Jim sent you. Say, Charlie, I've got a little project here that I go through generally each week, and that, of course, is the calendar of events. And we have two items here to discuss. And the first one is for Mac, and it says here that Mac Turkey says Mac Turkey Day will be at Gavora Mall on November 21st from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Children can enter the Mac Turkey Art Contest, and for entry and other details, call 456-1937. Mac, our resident six-foot turkey, suggests that you can have your picture taken as a pilgrim, or perhaps you can purchase some homemade candy, or a Smack-a-Sammet doll. Some of the other local miner items on sale will be placer miner silver medallions, which of course make excellent Christmas gifts, and artworks, Christmas cards, jewelry, and cookbooks, any of which would be an interesting gift during the Christmas occasions. For more information, please call 456-1937. Join the fun at Gavora Mall on Saturday, November 21st. Item number two, Mining Extension will begin an introductory class on mining and milling on Tuesday, December 1st. For more information, call the UAF Mining Extension at 474-7702. Now, I can't imagine who the instructor of that class is going to be. Charlie, do you have any ideas on or any additions that we might put on the calendar of events for people? Can you think of anything?
Yeah, Jim, I might mention that next Tuesday night, in Ryan Junior High School is the monthly meeting of the Alaska Miners Association. That starts at 7:30. That might be of interest to people in the mining community out there.
That's right. I didn't have that on the list here today. Well, Charlie, back to our conversation regarding your time at the university. Following the university educational experience, what was the next step in your career here in Alaska?
Jim, despite the fact that I had gone back to school specifically to get a professional education in mining and mining engineering, a project that was sounding like it was about to go those days was the Northwest Alaska Gas Line, and having worked on the Alyeska pipeline and having an engineering degree, I was not going to let them build another pipeline without getting in on the engineering of it. So I went to work for Gulf Interstate Engineering, which was a design contractor for Northwest Pipeline, and with an idea of working on the design of that. Unfortunately, that project didn't get off the ground in 1981, and at that time, things in the mining industry were beginning to look a little hungry, and there was a job opening with the Department of Commerce looking at the economic aspects of mining for the state, and so I took a job with the Department of Commerce.
Oh, well, with that in mind, Charlie, let's take a brief break. We'll be back with your activities within the department after we discuss some of the people that sponsor this program. When you think about jewelry, you think about quality. When you want quality, you think about Larson's Jewelry, located at 4th and Noble. That's where you can rely on quality and originality, whether you're looking for wedding rings and bands or a special piece for that special person. Larson's Jewelry has been in business since 1946, and they offer a full jewelry and goldsmithing service. That means, folks, they can take raw gold and create rings, bracelets, necklaces, and earrings right on the spot and in a design of your choice. Larson's can also add diamonds, rubies, sapphires, or other gemstones from their large inventory to your new or existing jewelry piece. They can repair and rebuild jewelry, including shanks, loops, and chains. It's a comfortable feeling when you know you're getting quality as well as value. At Larson's Jewelry, they have a fine selection of silver sets and crystal that's sure, with time, to become a family treasure. And for a special gift that will be long remembered, they now have a new glass etching and engraving service. But listen, folks, Larson's is much more than a jewelry store. Their wide selection of beautiful trophies and plaques can be personalized to commemorate a special occasion or achievement. For your safety and peace of mind, Larson also has a complete locksmithing service, including installation and servicing of all types of locks and safes. For anything you need, they have it on hand. Just remember, Larson's can. Located at 4th and Noble. Open 9 to 6 weekdays, 9 to 5 Saturdays. Visit today or give them a call at 456-4141. That's 456-4141. How about a word from Gold Nugget Taxi? Gold Nugget Taxi is a firm advocate of an educated Alaska mining industry, and they fully support the placer miners in their effort to provide a stable, healthy industry for Fairbanks and interior Alaska. If you're looking for value in transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-TAXI. That's 451-8294. Remember, let's keep our mining industry strong, and when you need a lift around town, call Golden Nugget Taxi at 451-8294. Remember, Golden Nugget Taxi believes a working community is a healthy community. Let's work together to keep our mining industry strong. A message from Golden Nugget Taxi, which offers reasonable rates and courteous, friendly service. When you need transportation, call Golden Nugget Taxi, 451-8294. That's 451-TAXI, an easy number to remember. And by the way, tell them you heard of their support for the industry from Jim on KFAR's Alaska Gold Trails. Well, Charlie, since your time on with the department there, what are some of the activities that you've taken part in?
Well, Jim, when I took my job with the department, there was a new office being created here in Fairbanks, specifically for minerals. John Sims, which probably many people know John because he's been involved with the mining community for a number of years and was a university professor before that. Was a director of the office, and of course one of the charges of this new office was to become the economic experts on mining in the state. But one of the first things we realized was how little good economic information was out there on the mining industry, what the mining industry was producing, how many people it was employing, what the profile of that industry was. So one of the first things we set about doing was figuring out a way to put this information together. We designed a report, and which we first published in 1982. The Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys in the Department of Natural Resources has been involved with that since the outset. And between the two agencies, we write an annual report that summarizes mining activity for the year, and we've done that since 1982.
And this report then encompasses the entire spectrum of mining in the state of Alaska. Is that right, Charlie?
That's right, Jim. We not only cover the production of the various minerals in the state, such as gold and coal and sand and gravel, but we also try and look at other mining activities, such as the level of exploration activity, the amount of money spent in construction and development of mining projects, to try and get a full view of the economic contributions of the industry in the state.
In terms of exploration productivity, how has the dollar amount changed over, say, since 1979 to present, the past decade? Charlie, do you have any information on that?
Yes, I do. Level of money spent on an annual basis by mining companies exploring for mineral deposits in the state probably was 60 to 70, maybe $80 million a year for a number of years, until it began to fall off in about 1983. The level of expenditures and as a measure of the level of activity fell to really a low for about the last 15 or 20 years. In 1985 and 1986, there were just a very few number of companies left that were doing exploration in the state.
What do you contribute that to, Charlie? You have any ideas on that?
Well, it's there are a number of things that can contribute to that. In a global perspective, during the 1970s, there was a high rate of inflation. And along with that rate of inflation, commodity prices and mineral prices were inflating. There was a lot of optimism that there were going to be shortages of minerals, and so there was a lot of money invested in exploring for them. What happened in the early 80s, of course, was a worldwide economic recession. Commodity prices plummeted. Coupled with that was the fact that because of this period of inflation, there was a lot more world production of minerals. So in the 80s, there was basically a contraction of the mining industry. As far as the mining industry in North America is concerned, many of the biggest companies that had been involved up here simply were reorganized or went out of business. And I think that had a lot to do with what happened to exploration in Alaska.
Do you see in the future an upswing in the exploration activity?
Very definitely. In fact, we're seeing the beginnings of that this year in 1987. One of the commodities that's done very well in recent years is gold. The price has been up. People have been successful finding mines. Those mines have been put into production. They've been producing profits for those companies, and the profits of those companies are being reinvested in exploration for new mines, and we're beginning to see some of that money being invested here in Alaska.
I think the listening audience is particularly interested in the gold and what's happening in not only in gold mining here locally in the Fairbanks area, but also in other areas of the state of Alaska. And I want to get back with that just after paying a few bills here. Robert Charlene and James Johnson own and operate a family business here in Fairbanks called Arctic Springs at 285 Alta Way. They started manufacturing leaf springs and U-bolts for all sizes and types of vehicles and heavy equipment several years ago because of their interest in developing a leaf spring manufacturing plant in Fairbanks. They became one of the first businesses to be awarded the use of the Made in Alaska logo for businesses using Alaskan products and labor. That's rather impressive, isn't it? To give you an example, of what they can do over there on Alta Way in their 6,000 square foot manufacturing plant. Listen to this. They manufacture and recondition springs for snow machines, cars, trucks, heavy equipment, and get this, folks, even aircraft. Springs can be re-arched and U-bolts cold bent to your specifications. And in addition, they can raise and lower your vehicle. Arctic Spring handles both standard and custom-made coil springs. Just look at what they stock. A complete line of steel, brass, rubber, and Teflon bushings. Torsion bar axles for auto trailers, snow machine trailers, and weasels. And finally, folks, they build trailers to your specifications, so bring in your blueprints or sketch. In addition, they have two huge 30-inch by 8-foot heat treatment ovens, which can accommodate just about any material that needs heat treating. And by the way, ask Bob out there just what kind of service he has for you placer miners. That's Bob, Charlene, and James Johnson at Arctic Springs, 285 Alta Way. Give them a call at 451-8612. Oh, and here's one of my favorites, B&L Pawn Shop. At the corner of Gaffney and Cushman is the most unpredictable variety store in Fairbanks. Now, folks, I've been in there, and you know that's an understatement. It's more like having a giant garage sale in one room. One-stop shopping will get you everything. Just to give you an idea, let me list a few of the items. Jewelry, clocks, stereos, headphones, guns, scopes, winches, propane bottles, tools, hats, musical instruments, cameras, TVs, radios, typewriters, and the list goes on and on and on. In fact, you can get anything at B&L Pawn. B&L traditionally has offered tremendous savings, but in addition, if you tell Killer you heard it on KFAR, she'll even sweeten the deal. And if you tell her you heard it from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails, she'll even sweeten it more. If your money is a little tight, they'll be happy to help you out. Bring in anything you feel is of value or use, and the folks at B&L will loan you the money to get through to better days. Or if you sell items on consignment, they'll work with you on that too. So if you're looking for anything from snowshoes to diamond rings, see the folks at B&L Pawn, 605 Gaffney. Jim, Bruce, and Killer will be happy to deal. Killer never says no. They'll sell anything but the chandelier, and only because it's attached. However, ask Killer, you never know. That's B&L Pawn, corner of Gaffney and Cushman, 452-6491. Open 9 to 7 Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 on Saturday, and 12 to 5 on Sunday. And remember, tell Killer you heard it here on Alaska Gold Trails, and she'll sweeten the deal. Well, Charlie, we've talked about gold and the mining of gold in Alaska, and I think that in recent years, or at least over the past 2 years, we've seen an upswing in gold production in the state. And perhaps you could comment on how that occurred.
Well, actually, we've seen a decline in gold production over the last 2 years, meaning through 1986. I think what we're going to see for 1987, however, is an increase, a very significant increase. In past years, I think last year's production of gold in 1986 was about 160,000 ounces. For 1987, we estimate that production is going to be about 206,000 ounces. I'm not sure what a percentage increase that is. While there has been a little hard rock gold production this year, most of the vast majority of that production, however, is placer production.
And what placer production is mainly responsible for the increase that you see?
Well, the decrease we've seen over the last 2 years has been primarily from smaller operators, a fewer number of smaller operators. I think probably if you've discussed on other programs, there are a lot of problems out there for the small miner, and we've seen a contraction in the number of small mines that are actually operating. So that's contributed to a decline in gold production. However, in 1987, what we're seeing is some very significant production increases of gold from a few very large mines around the state.
And where would they be located, Charlie?
Three of them are located in Nome on the Seward Peninsula. One is the offshore dredging project by Inspiration Gold. The other dredging project is Alaska Gold, and in the past years they've had one dredge working onshore. This year they've essentially going to double their production because they're operating two dredges. Thirdly, there is a very large open pit placer mine right outside the city of Nome, Windfall Mining, which will have a high production this year. And then for the fourth year in a row, the Valdez mining project down on the Denali Highway will continue to be a large gold producer.
Well, in these areas of gold mining, do you have a kind of a finger on the pulse of how many people are employed in these different mines, Shirley?
At the Valdez Creek mine, I believe they employed 135, or are employing 135 people, most of them local residents. And interestingly enough, unlike most of our gold mines, which are seasonal, Valdez Creek mine is works through the winter. At least they did last year and are planning to this year as well.
So we've got quite a workforce out there in the placer mining industry, especially in these four large mines. What about the number of people involved in the smaller placer mining operations, say, for example, in the interior of Alaska here in the Fairbanks area, for example?
I'm not sure I've got any numbers right off the top of my head, Jim, but I think probably for these big operations, we could probably estimate that there's maybe 300 people or so working in these big operations. We probably have another total employment, direct employment in the placer industry of some 2,000 people. So you can see that while these big producers are producing a lot of the gold, really the bulk of the employment comes from the small mines, which are, of course, scattered throughout the state.
And we want to talk a little bit more about the employment and the effects on the economy of particularly Fairbanks as it relates to the placer mining industry here in the interior right after these announcements. Hector's Welding, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, has been serving Alaska for 40 years. Talk about steel and iron stock for any job you have. Hector has over 600 tons of stock on hand. Now keep that in mind, folks. Their 14,400 square foot shop is capable of handling the most demanding work quickly and efficiently. Listen to this list of services. They can replace dozer blade liners. They also rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks. And they do heavy equipment repairs and modifications. And mining equipment fabrication is their specialty, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, screening plants. They also fabricate specialized riffles and punch plate. And they have a portable welding unit for fast on-site repairs. Hector's fully equipped fabrication shop is ready to serve you. Bring out your ideas and blueprints. It's a well-known fact that anywhere in the interior where the big jobs are done, men in the field depend on Hector's for proven, rapid, reliable work. Rush jobs are no problem. Remember, Hector's Welding has been getting the job done and done right for 40 years. And now, an all-new service for you placer miners, flocculants. Hector's is the gel log distributor. There's a free test kit available. All you have to do is stop over at Hector's and pick up the kit. Keep that in mind, placer miners, and keep this in mind, too. It's free. Wherever Alaska's miners are working, Hector's is the first name in gold recovery equipment, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. Their phone number is 488-6432. Uh-oh, it's bonanza time. Robbie at Tip Top Chevrolet says all 1987 trucks must go. They are having a giant year-end truck sale. For power, performance, and comfort, you can't beat a Chevrolet truck. The 6 years, 60,000 miles limited warranty is standard. Come in, look them over, take a test drive. No reasonable offer will be refused. Tip Top Chevrolet has what you want, whether gas or diesel, two or four-wheel drive, small, comfortable, and sporty, or a full-size work truck. Robbie is ready to deal. For the best selection and the best prices, stop in today at Tip Top Chevrolet, 1916 South Cushman. Listen to the components on some of these sale models. The S10 Blazers have a powerful 2.8-liter V6 with electronic fuel injection, a smooth ride with fully independent front suspension standard, excellent visibility. Bucket seats in front are standard on the S10s, handsome styling with comfort and convenience. All units in stock have four-wheel drive. The S10 pickups have heavy-duty construction, sizes to fit your needs, heavy-duty payload package, fully independent front suspension. Hot wax coating on the entire frame helps fight effects of road salt and dirt. On the full-size pickups, electronic fuel injection is now standard. Vortec V6 engine, one of the most powerful standard engines in a half-ton pickup. Fleet side or step side boxes available. Crew cab or bonus cab available. And your option of gas or diesel power. That's Tip Top Chevrolet, 1916 Cushman Street. Phone 452-8211. And remember Robbie's safety tip. Buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet. Okay, Charlie, we were talking about the gold production in the state of Alaska, and I kind of want to blend that into what effects the placer mining of gold in the interior has on the Fairbanks economy. Perhaps you can give us some comments regarding just how much gold is mined and how much of that the values obtained from that gold is blended into the Fairbanks economy. But just for a minute, Charlie, I think we've got a call. Maybe they have a question for you. Hello, you're on the air. This is Jim. Do you have a question for Charlie?
Yes, you're talking that the gold mining is so good, but yet out of between here and Circle, there's probably 200 or more miners. I don't know the exact number, but they're all practically all of them are out of business this year. There's only a few, maybe I think the number was about 15 of them were mining this year.
Right, well, I guess what I was saying about gold production being good was that the number of ounces produced in the state is going to be up, but the number of small placer miners is in fact down, and I wasn't trying to imply that's good at all. I think what you say is true. In 1985, we saw about 66,000 ounces produced in the interior region of the state, and that would include the Stees Highway Circle Mining District. In 1986, the value of the amount of that production dropped to about 45,000 ounces. The number of people employed in the industry around the Fairbanks area, employed directly in placer mining, dropped from about 740 to about 375 employees. So there has been a very significant drop locally in placer mining industry as it affects the Fairbanks economy.
Well, with that in mind, Charlie, the drop, how much of the revenues from the placer mining industry, say, over the past decade, how much have they changed, how much is the variation in money that has been injected in the Fairbanks economy changed?
Well, I'm not sure I can speak to, say, over the last decade, Jim, but knowing that the placer mining industry was going to be facing a lot of major decisions here in the 80s, as I was saying earlier, there was a lack of good economic information on the mining industry in general, and there was a lack of information on placer mining in particular, and what we wanted to do was to generate some good economic information so that the decisions and policies that were being made regarding placer mining were not made in a vacuum of information about their economic impacts. So we surveyed the economic impact of placer mining industry in the state in both 1982 and 1985, and the results of that 1985 survey showed that there was about $27 million spent directly into the Fairbanks economy from placer mining industry in the state. Of course, primarily that would be mostly mines in the area around here, the Fairbanks District, Circle Mining District, et cetera. So I think you can say in 1985 we had about $27 million coming into the Fairbanks economy. In 1986 we saw a drop of about 39% in the number of producing mines, a 31% drop in the volume of production. I think you can probably say that reflects a similar drop in the amount of money that was actually spent in the Fairbanks economy.
Well, how does that then affect, we see that it of course affects the amount of money coming in. How would it affect the shopkeepers and the people who supply materials for the mining industry? We're going to see a 31% drop in their business as well?
Well, I can't say that that's necessarily a one-for-one basis. Certainly, I think you would find fuel dealers that are used to selling fuel to miners, equipment dealers that are used to selling equipment or servicing equipment or parts, are going to directly see that loss in their income to their businesses. To a much lesser extent, I don't think that other businesses such as grocery stores, as sporting goods shops, will necessarily realize that a percentage of their drop in business is maybe due to the impacts of having the mining industry drop. But in fact, they certainly, to a certain extent, all businesses in the area will have a drop in their business due to the loss of money being spent in the placer mining industry.
Well, although the sporting goods stores might not see it directly, might it not be reflected in the fact that some businesses not receiving those revenues from the placer mining industry would then not their employees, perhaps because they had to let employees go or for other reasons, decrease in wages or something of that nature, their employees wouldn't be out buying these types of things, sporting good type items and other items that would they would normally buy when the economy is up. Would you, did you kind of feel that perhaps their loss in business would be indirect rather than direct?
Well, sure, that'd be the way you characterize it. Money spent by a placer miner to, say, buy a load of fuel, takes out his checkbook and writes a check. That's a direct infusion of money for placer mining. When the fuel dealer goes down and makes a mortgage payment on his house with the bank, goes down to the grocery store, buys some groceries, takes his wife out to dinner, some of that money is come from his business with the placer miner. It's being passed through the economy, and those are generally characterized as indirect effects. It's harder to see and quantify indirect effects. And in an industry like placer mining, where you have a few major businesses that get most of the placer miner's business, other businesses in the community aren't as likely to understand how the placer mining industry is contributing to their business. When, say, those dollars come through their store, there's not the one-to-one relationship that this is coming from placer mining.
There, Charlie, there are a lot of other industries in the state of Alaska that are contributing, for example, to the Fairbanks economy. And how would you compare these other industries to placer mining in Fairbanks?
Well, again, that's not an easy thing to do because there have not been a lot of studies done similar to ours where we tried to identify the amount of money that actually went into the various areas of the state. However, I was interested that to find from an agency also within my department, the Division of Tourism, did a similar analysis of the impacts of the tourism industry. And I just know from playing with these numbers that the value of the mining industry statewide is about $250 million, whereas similar figures for tourism were from, say, $800 to $1 billion. When the Division of Tourism actually looked where this money is directly spent, they came up with a figure for what money directly went into the Fairbanks economy, and that figure was $34 million. $34 million really isn't that far away from $27 million, and you might wonder what happened to the other $600 million spent in this industry. And I think the explanation is that a large portion of the tourism dollar goes for transportation to and from. So I was fairly surprised to realize that really what was directly coming into the Fairbanks economy was not very different in tourism and in mining in terms of its total direct impact. Of course, one difference being is that anybody that happens to be awake in Fairbanks during the summer sees tourism, but unless you really go out and look for it, you're not going to find or see a lot of placer miners. So the perception is there that maybe tourism is an enormously larger contributor to Fairbanks economy, but at least the numbers that we've managed to come up with in fact show that they're very similar.
Well, the comparison's interesting then. Look, Charlie, let's take a look at one of the people that sponsor Alaska Gold Trails, and we'll be right back. Whether it's an auto, light truck, motorhome, or big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And that's not just my opinion, folks. Last year, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raven About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe's has two large shops and eight mechanics on hand to serve you. With that much attention, you will get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair, mount, and balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. As you can see, Gabe's is a one-stop service center. And if you need an IM inspection, you're going to love this, folks. Gabe's has a no-pass, no-pay policy. That's right. If you don't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. Gabe's also has a special deal for you folks who are getting your vehicles ready for winter. If you get an oil change, filter, and lube, or tune-up at Gabe's, you'll get a free winterization inspection. This 30-minute inspection covers such items as heater, antifreeze, check gearboxes, inspect fan belts, battery, and all fluid levels in your vehicle. And don't forget Gabe's towing service. He has three wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. Getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. With this icy weather, you might want to write that number down and put it in your glove box. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field, or give them a call at 456-6156. Well, Charlie, regarding the mining industry here, how has the mineral development been going? We've spoke to exploration, and how what's going on in the mineral development phase of mining?
Well, of course, as probably most everybody knows, both the management of the Greens Creek property in Admiralty Island near Juneau and the Red Dog property in northwest Alaska, those two major mines are now being constructed. Greens Creek will be in production in 1988, Red Dog in 1990 or 1991. So the amount of money being spent developing those major mines is very considerable, so we will see it's that reflected in the statistics for 1987. Certainly more important than those statistics is the fact that Alaska will have two major metal mines. When Greens Creek reaches full production, we'll have the largest silver mine in the United States. Red Dog will be the largest zinc producer in the United States, and you might say that at least as far as hard rock production is concerned, that Alaska will more or less be back on the map as an international and domestic supplier of minerals.
What has happened at U.S. Borax molybdenum deposit in southeastern Alaska? Charlie, do you have any updates on that?
Well, of course, one of the most significant things that happened to it is when they were initially looking at the deposit and looking towards developing it, the price of molybdenum was about $7 a pound, and the price of molybdenum is now down to about $3 a pound or $2.50 a pound. So at the present time, given the price of that commodity, it's not feasible to develop the mine. But the company that has the property is very experienced in mining and mineral commodities around the world, and are content to wait until economic conditions get to the point where it would be feasible to develop that property.
Charlie, I've got one small announcement here, a little public service announcement. The animal shelter is pleased to announce that the Sweet Cocker Poodle Mix found a new home. They have a litter of Lab Schnauzer mixed pups, black and white, and they're 10 weeks old, available. A Springer Spaniel mix, spayed female, adult, is good with kids, and she's available. And lots of outside dogs need homes, as well as several adult cats. So contact the animal shelter regarding these animals. Charlie, let's talk just a minute about, we've got about 2 minutes left. Let's talk about what's happening in the Fairbanks area regarding the development of new mining ideas, both in primarily in the hard rock areas.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you know, Jim, the Fairbanks area is the largest producer of gold in the state. Historically, I think it produced about 7 million ounces of gold. Most of that gold, of course, came from mining placer deposits, and one question has always been, well, where did the gold come from? And while historically there had been a number of small properties around Fairbanks, hard rock properties that had been in production, nobody had really ever developed a major mine. With modern techniques, modern exploration techniques, and some new developments in actual mining technology, I think there's a renewed interest in looking in the Fairbanks area for hard rock sources of the placer gold, and I think what we're going to see here next year is increased exploration for that kind of a project.
We have a number of old-time prospectors. We had Rudy Vetter on the show last week, and he was discussing his role in discovery of these mines. And so an important point here, I think, Charlie, is that, you know, all these mines weren't discovered by large, well-financed companies. Sometimes the mines and the deposits were discovered by the solitary prospector. And we have had an interesting conversation with you, Charlie, and I want people to know out there that we have, if they care to contact you at the Department of Economic Development, your number is 452-7464. So if you have questions on mining, contact Charlie. So,
hey, wait, before you do that, did you call? You got almost a minute to go. There's somebody calling too. Did you say hi to Chicken?
I said hi to Chicken.
Great. Hi, Chicken.
Hi, Chicken.
Okay. And look, we're running out of time here, folks. The time has slipped away. And so
close the show out, Jim said. Bye.
I want to thank you, Charlie Green, for sharing your time with us today.
Thank you, Jim.
We've learned a great deal from your visit. I also want to thank the listening audience for taking part in the program with your letters and calls. Keep them coming. We love it. Next week's guest, Don May, one of Alaska's most well-known and respected placer miners. It's been fun, folks. This is Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails. Until next week, happy prospecting.
Finally did it. White House and congressional budget negotiators.